KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies, 62 degrees in Atlantic, looking for to be clear to partly cloudy today, the high around 90. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. A Pottawatomie County Sheriff's deputy put his EMT training to good use Thursday morning when he delivered a baby born to a couple from Cumberland who were on their way to the hospital in the Omaha Council Bluffs area. According to Omaha television station KETV, Deputy Aaron Patti was on patrol near Carson when he received word a woman was in labor at around 10:30 a.m. When he arrived on the scene next to a bank off of Highway 92, Patti saw Clark Gerlach running around to the passenger side of the van. The deputy joined him, and less than 2 minutes later, a baby girl joined the world. After Rebecca Gerlach gave birth, Patti provided a shoestring to cut the umbilical cord. Little Bethany Gerlach weighed 8 pounds, 15 ounces, and is 21 and a half inches long. Carson Rescue transported mom, dad, and the baby to Mercy Hospital, where the child and her mom are reportedly doing fine. The baby will be joining her three other siblings at home when mom and daughter are released from Mercy Hospital. Deputy Patti and Bethany share one thing in common. They were both born on August the 30th. He told the TV station his 33rd birthday would definitely be one to remember. News time is 8:01.
Great sermon, huh? Really got me thinking.
Oh, I guess I missed it, but then again, I have a hard time hearing the pastor.
Really? You sit in the second row.
Well, you know, I...
Yes, I do know. I used to struggle, just like you're saying. But I finally went to go see Doug Leonard and had my hearing tested. Found out there was a good reason I couldn't hear the sermons.
How often do you leave your Sunday services and not have any idea of what the minister said? Or sit through an important meeting and go away wondering what you were supposed to learn for your job? The problem could be that you have a hearing loss. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. For most patients, hearing loss is usually something that takes place over time, and you don't realize it's happening until you find yourself struggling to hear things that are important to you. Quit struggling. Call and schedule an evaluation today. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Manning, Autumn, and Carroll.
I only wish I had gone sooner.
Well, the Iowa Department of Transportation's Atlantic Construction Office says beginning Tuesday, September the 4th, motorists should expect delays for the installation of a sculpture as part of the Broadway Viaduct, U.S. Highway 6, in Council Bluffs, weather permitting. Lane closures and occasional viaduct closures will be required during the installation of the sculpture. Daytime lane closures will be from 7 a.m. until the day's work is completed, and signage will route traffic through the work zone. When the entire viaduct must be closed, the closures will be from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. The viaduct will be open to traffic on Friday and Saturday evenings during the installation project. Again, that begins next Tuesday. For more information about the scheduled work and closures, you can visit www.511ia.org. The installation is expected to take about 20 days, weather permitting. Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman Thursday released the names of the persons who have submitted their nominations for various county offices in advance for the November 6th general election. Now, there are no contested races for any of the top offices, including the Board of Supervisors, Auditor, and Sheriff. All of those running for re-election to those offices are Republicans, including Dwayne McFadden, Charles Regan, and Frank Waters for the Board of Supervisors, Auditor Dale Sunderman, and Sheriff Darby McLaren. Candidates for other nonpartisan offices include for Cass County Memorial Hospital Board of Trustees Northwest District, Roger Herring and Michael J. Collins, both of whom are from Atlantic. One of those men will serve a 6-year term. And for the Northeast District of the CCMH Board of Trustees, Julie Pollack is the candidate for a 6-year term. Soil and Water Conservation District candidates here in Cass County, there are 3 to be elected and 2 cannot be from the same township. The candidates include Chase Wheatley of Messina, Kurt Behrens of Wyota, Clark Gerlach of Cumberland, and Norbert Ray Wilson of Griswold. For the Ag Extension Council, there are 4 positions available, and the candidates include Marcy Joe Dorsey of Oneida, Darren Patty of Atlantic, Julie Opperly of Wyota, and Melina Sothman of Cumberland. Township trustees, Benton Township, there's one to be elected for a 4-year term. The candidate is Vicki Sanny of Atlantic. Benton Township to fill the remainder of a 4-year term is Chris Stork of Atlantic. For Edna Township, there is 1 seat available and 1 candidate for a 4-year term, Keith Nelson of Messina. And Edna Township to fill the remainder of a 4-year term, the candidate is Travis Erickson of Cumberland. In Union Township, there's 1 seat available for a 4-year term, and the candidate there is Delmer South of Cumberland. And Victoria Township, 1 candidate for a 4-year term is Carol McMullen of Messina. Also, the township clerks here in Cass County, Benton Township, has a vacancy, 1 for the remainder of a 4-year term. A candidate there is Linda Olson of Brayton. Edna Township has a similar vacancy in term. Dan Schreier of Cumberland is the candidate. And in Union Township, again the same conditions, Bill Gerlach or Cheryl Christensen, both of Cumberland, are your candidates for that one position. In addition, public measures will be on the ballot in November for those persons residing in the Benton, Edna, Union, and Victoria townships in Cass County, asking those persons if the Board of Supervisors should fill the offices of trustees and clerk in those respective townships by appointment as the terms of office of the incumbent township officers expire. Firefighters from Oneida and Wyota were called to the scene of a hay baler and field fire south of Wyota Thursday morning. The crews were dispatched to the location off of Jasper Road around 10:30 a.m., and Fire Chief Dwayne Murphy has said an overheated bearing in the baler sparked that fire. Authorities say the brutal heat is suspected in the death of a Des Moines police dog found dead inside of a patrol vehicle. The Des Moines television station KCCI reports that Harley, a Labrador retriever assigned to the narcotics team, was found Wednesday afternoon. The temperature had already reached the lower 90s. Police Sergeant Chris Scott says Harley had been working with his human partner, Officer Brian Mathis, on Wednesday. Scott says it was Mathis who found Harley dead in the vehicle. Investigators are checking how long Harley was left inside the vehicle and whether the air conditioner was on or some windows were rolled down. Scott said the department has, quote, lost a fellow officer who just happened to be a dog. Temperatures reaching as high as 102 degrees have set records in several western and northern Iowa cities. The 102 in Sioux Center yesterday broke a 32-year-old record for August 30th. Sioux City and Orange City also hit 102 degrees Thursday. The 99-degree temperature in Mason City broke the record of 95 set back in 1941, and Waterloo reached a record tying 96 degrees. Meteorologists say the low humidity that accompanied the heat made the high temperature more tolerable for many people. People across the state are wondering how much longer will the drought and extreme high temperatures be continuing. Iowa State University Extension climatologist Elwin Taylor said there are not many signs indicating a change in the current weather patterns.
We've switched from the second strongest La Nina event in recorded history, that's a little over 100 years, and to neutral. Well, we haven't quite moved into that El Nino. We're right at the edge of it, and some people say, I don't believe we'll make it. Some say they think we will. Well, these are people that actually understand something about it, so we're left as an unknown.
Taylor says many people are hoping the weather will return to an El Nino weather pattern.
El Nino is kind of the friend of the Midwest farmer. Under El Nino, things just aren't extreme. The high temperatures aren't so much higher than normal. The cold temperatures aren't too much colder than normal. We're just closer to normal. And normal's not bad weather for crops when you're in Iowa and the Midwest in general.
The extreme heat returned after a short reprieve, but will it go away for good anytime soon?
Well, we just can't tell on a year like this. Just when we're thinking it's over, it's still with us. But the National Weather Service feels that it will be ending toward the end of September. So we've still got essentially a calendar month to go.
The climatologist was a featured speaker at the Farm Progress Show near Boone. Taylor says Iowa needs at least 4 inches of precipitation before the winter freeze or around November 15th. He says an additional 3 inches of rain will be needed next spring. Farmers typically attend the annual Farm Progress Show in Boone to look to the future. They want to see the latest equipment, seed, and chemicals, and they want to learn about where the markets are headed. At this year's three-day show that ended yesterday, plenty of people spoke about the drought, but they noted the last few years have been good. And even during this hot, dry summer, the harvest might not be as bad as it seems. While some individuals will lose money, farmers overall may earn more than last year's record net income of more than $100 billion. Crop insurance and commodity prices are helping to compensate for the lower yields. The USDA estimates a farm income of $122.2 billion in 2012, up about 3.7% from last year. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the day after the close of the Republican National Convention, presidential nominee Mitt Romney and running mate Paul Ryan travel today to Richmond, Virginia, where they'll kick off the Labor Day weekend with an afternoon rally. Romney's campaign home stretch will place emphasis on jobs, trying to convince Americans that only he can fix the stagnant economy. President Barack Obama, meanwhile, visits Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas today, but the White House said the visit is official business and not campaign-related. Obama also visited Fort Bliss on the day he announced the end of the U.S. combat role in Iraq. He returns to the campaign trail Saturday with an appearance in Iowa. At least three people have been killed in a shooting inside of a New Jersey supermarket. A law enforcement official said the shooting happened early this morning in the Pathmark grocery store in Old Bridge, which is about 25 miles from New York. The shooter is believed to be one of the dead. Officials in State College, Pennsylvania, say they've removed a brick from an off-campus walkway that's engraved with the name of former Penn State assistant coach Jerry Sandusky and the Second Mile charity he founded. A local official tells the Center Daily Times that the brick was removed because of vandalism concerns and complaints from residents. Sandusky was convicted earlier this year of sexually abusing 10 boys. And crowds of people have been gathering at an industrial canal off of San Francisco Bay to cheer on two wayward dolphins. The two bottlenose dolphins have been swimming in the small canal since Wednesday night, and there are indications one may be ill. Scientists say they'll take a closer look if the animals stay put for more than 24 hours. News time is 8:10.
Great sermon, huh? Really got me thinking.
Oh, I guess I missed it, but then again, I have a hard time hearing the pastor.
Really? You sit in the second row?
Well, you know, I...
Yes, I do know. I used to struggle, just like you're saying. But I finally went to go see Doug Leonard and had my hearing tested. Found out there was a good reason I couldn't hear the sermons.
How often do you leave your Sunday services and not have any idea of what the minister said? Or sit through an important meeting and go away wondering what you were supposed to learn for your job? The problem could be that you have a hearing loss. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. For most patients, hearing loss is usually something that takes place over time, and you don't realize it's happening until you find yourself struggling to hear things that are important to you. Quit struggling. Call and schedule an evaluation today. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Manning, Autumn, and Carroll.
I only wish I had gone sooner.
In the funeral announcements, Louis Bell, age 83 of Manila, died Monday at his home. Funeral services for Louis Bell will be today at 10:30 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Ron Kniep, age 73 of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Greater Regional Hospice in Creston. Funeral services for Ron Kniep will be this morning at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Albert Aaron Freed, age 99 of Fontenelle, died Monday at the Adair County Hospital in Greenfield. Celebration of Life services for Albert Aaron Freed will be today at 2 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Donna Ball, age 63 of Harlan, died last Friday at her home. Funeral services for Donna Ball will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Norma Isles, age 85 of Cumberland, died Wednesday at her home. Funeral services for Norma Isles will be held on Saturday, at 11:30, at the Trinity Christian Church in Bridgewater. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Milford Mick Pardee, age 89 of Audubon, died last Friday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Celebration of Life memorial services for Mick Pardee will be on Monday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Marjorie Sorensen, age 84 of Topeka, Kansas, a former Shelby County resident, died Wednesday in Topeka. Funeral services for Marjorie Sorensen will be next Tuesday at 10:30 at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Betty Dawson, age 78 of Guthrie Center, died Thursday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Betty Dawson will be on Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. And Marilyn Young, age 73 of Avoca and formerly of Atlantic, died Thursday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Graveside services for Marilyn Young will be held next Wednesday at 11 a.m. in the Atlantic Cemetery. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.